Thank you for the good singing. Once again, it's good to see all of you out this morning. Beautiful day the Lord has made. The psalmist said, I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
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 Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that this is the day the Lord has made.
Right.
This is the day. And tomorrow, when you get up tomorrow, you can say it again. This is the day that the Lord has made. Is this mic on? It's on. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. If we remember that every day, we'll have something to rejoice about. Each day is a gift.
Amen.
From the Lord God of heaven to you and I. He's given us a gift of life. He gives us that gift. And we wake up each morning, we can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. That's a determination thing. That's in the will. To say that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 73, I call your attention this morning. I'll read the whole chapter. The psalmist is Asaph. One of the choir leaders, if you will, one of the choir leaders of the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament, Asaph writes, and he says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. No doubt he could look around and think about that and think about how good God had been to the nation of Israel. But in verse 2, his view looks a little down, and he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When I saw the prosperity, his perception needed some adjustment. If you notice with me, he saw some things that rattled his cage. He saw some things that bothered him. And he said it made his foot almost to slip. He was almost gone. Verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued by like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I love you this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I do thank you for this day that you've given to us. And I pray, oh God, Lord, I pray you'd help us today to worship you in spirit and truth. I pray, thank you, Lord, for the good music that we've already sung and heard. And God, I thank you, Lord, for each person that's here. Now, I pray, God, you'd these next few minutes, just, Lord, I pray you'd allow us, Lord, I pray to tune into heaven and, Lord, to hear from you through your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd touch me. I pray you'd use me. I pray, oh, God, you'd have your will and way here this morning. Lord, be pleased in all that's said and done. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, Asaph got to looking around one day, and he wasn't at church. He was out in the world watching what was going on, and old Asaph saw the wicked, and he saw how it looked like they were going about doing their own thing, neglecting God, denying God, rebellious against God. But he said, I saw them, and he said, the ungodly are those that prosper in the world. And he said, they increase with riches. His perception was off. His perception was not God's perception. And here not only his perception got off, but he began to get his priorities off. And he began to seek the things of the world. And what it seemed to him made the world prosperous. And what it seemed to him that the world was rich because they had material goods. Asaph began to look at these things. And he began to look around. And he said, man, I've cleansed my heart in vain. Man, in other words, he said, I'm living for God all for naught. In other words, he got the world's idea that the world has this idea out here that if you live for God, you're going to get rich and you're going to be healthy and wealthy and wise and all this because you're just doing everything right. And Asaph said, it ain't working. He said, I've done this in vain. Asaph said, man, what am I doing?
What have I done? Man, I'm wasting time. Don't you realize all the fun I could have had? Don't you realize if I wouldn't have been worried about God's what? Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered why in the world it seems like, man, the world does their own thing. They don't even care about God. They don't take out the time to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They'll volunteer for overtime. They go down to the clubs. They go to the bars. They don't mind going doing all the things they do. And it seems like, man, they're the ones with the nice cars. They got the brand new Mustangs. They got the brand new BMWs. They got the brand new Harley Davidsons. They got the brand new bass boats. They got the jet skis. They got the wine. They got the women. They got the song. It seems like, why in the world does it seem like the people who don't care about God and they don't care about anything about the Word of God, why in the world does it seem that when we look at them in their everyday life, it seems that they have it all together? It seems like they're prosperous. It seems like everything's coming up just good for them. It seems like everything, hey, for the person in the world, it seems if we look at them from the world's perspective, it seems as if they have everything they could ever want. It seems as if they have everything they could ever need. It seems as if they've got every desire. It seems as if they've got the passions of life. It seems as if they've got everything going their way. And oh, he said, I've got to looking around. And he said, man, I've cleansed my heart in vain. He said, I've washed my hands in innocency. Oh, he says, beginning to wonder, is it really worth it to serve God? Is it really worth it to put God first? Is it really worth it to live right? Is it really worth it to walk according to the principles and the precepts of the Word of God? And here Asaph looks around. And he said, man, he said, it's just not worth it. He said, I've cleansed my heart in vain. And he said, I've washed my hands in innocency. He said, all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. He said, but hey, what's it come to? Here I am. The world's prospering and I don't have anything to show for me walking with God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered why the Donald Trumps? Have you ever wondered why the Hugh Hefners of the world, they're the millionaires, the billionaires? Hey, have you ever wondered why the most wicked people in the world seem to be the richest people in the world? Hey, let me ask you this morning, have you ever wondered that? Have you ever been like me to think, man, here I am, I'm serving God, I'm doing everything, I've sacrificed time with my family, I've sacrificed time that I could do other things, and I've put God first, I've walked with God, I've tried to do right, I've tried to train up my children right, I've tried to lead them in the right path, I've tried to go according to God's Word, and it seems like, man, I've always got too much muff at the end of the money. Have y'all ever been there? I mean, if you're honest this morning, we've all had these thoughts and we've wondered, what in the world should I do? Let me give you a few thoughts this morning on what to do when life does not, I'll get it out here in a minute, what to do when life does just not seem fair. What to do when life just doesn't seem fair. Asaph gets to looking around, and in verse number 16, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Asaph said, man, this is too much to bear. I can't handle it looking around at the world and how they're prospering and looking at, man, hey, if I can use it, hey, the people in Hollywood this morning and the people in rock music and the country music stars, and it seems like those are the ones that are prospering. It seems like they've got everything that they ever wanted. It seems like they've got the nice cars. They've got the big, man, I was out in Nashville not too long ago, and I went by, Trace Atkins, one of them big country, and I looked at, man, and I was like, wow, man, look at a house like that. And man, here I live in a little single wide trailer, and here I am, I'm doing everything I can just to make a meet. Anybody ever, y'all ever felt like that? Why in the world, God? What? Hey, and Asaph said, when I thought to know this, he said it was too painful. It hurt me so bad. Hey, he said, I just think I'm wasting my time putting God first. And before you put him down, look in the mirror, friends. Before you knock him, hey, just remember where he was. He was watching the world. His perception was a blur because he was looking at the crowd in the world. That's why he thought they were living it up. But hold on. Look in verse 17. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Amen. He said, I went to church and I found out something was different. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. What about that? What is the wages of sin, church? The wages of sin is death. Oh, Asaph said, when I went to God's house, when I got close to God, my perception changed. And he said, hey, when my perception changed, my priorities began to change. And I began to see that those people, hey, that thought they were living it up, and I thought they had prosperity, and I thought they were succeeding, and I thought they had everything they wanted. He said, I started to see what was going to happen to them. And God showed me some things down at the house of God. And he said, then understood I therein. Let me say to you, Hugh Hefner can have, hey, the hottest chicks in the world this morning. Hey, but one of these days, they're going to be a whole lot hotter because he's going to be burning in hell and he ain't going to be living it up. He ain't going to be having a good time. He ain't going to be partying it up. Let me say, my good neighbors, hey, this morning, the people in the world that you think got it all together, friend, hey, one of these days, the God of the universe is going to do right and they will pay.
Amen.
But let me say, it pays to serve God. Let me just say this morning, it still pays in 2011 to make God numero uno. Hey, to make God number one, good neighbors. Hey, it still pays to serve God. It still pays to love God with all your heart, Brother Matt. Hey, it still pays to put God first in all you do. It still pays to raise your kids upright and train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It still pays to live according to the Word of God. Hey, it still pays to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Go back to church on Sunday night. Go back to church on Wednesday night. Go back to church on visitation. Go back to church for revival. It still pays to serve God, good neighbors. It still pays. What do I do when life just don't seem fair? Well, it's a good place to start is just go to the house of God.
That's right.
When we get down to the house of God, there's some things we'll learn. I want you to look with me. The next few verses, I want us to look here for about an hour or two at what happened. What did Asaph learn that you and I could learn about what, hey, how does it pay to serve God? Let me say, number one, for the first 16 verses or so, Asaph is looking at things with man's view. He's looking through, hey, the world's perception. Hey, but in chapter, in verse number 17, he begins to look at things through God's view. He begins to look at things through the biblical perspective. He begins to look at things, hey, God's way. And when he does, notice with me what happens. He says, surely that it set them in slippery place. This is their end. Watch me, neighbors. Hey, the wages of sin is death. Don't forget it. Hey, here it is. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Wait a minute. Destruction. They think they got it all together now, but destruction's coming. How are they brought into desolation? Not only destruction, but desolation. As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. This is what's, hey, they're going to get what's coming to them. Watch me now. As a dream, when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou wakest, watch me now, not only destruction and desolation, but thou shalt despise their image. They're going to be despised by God. But verse 21 says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. What is he saying? He said, I was as dumb as a stupid a donkey out in the field or a cow. I was like a beast thinking the thing and thinking that they was prospering. He said, man, I was foolish. He said, God pricked me in my heart. God showed me some things when I got to the house of God. God woke me up. God showed me how to get my lenses clear so I can see things His way. Now, verse 23, we'll start out. I'm going to give you about four things, hey, that Asaph said that we ought to do when life does just not seem fair. When it just don't seem, hey, man, like it just don't seem like it's paying off. It seems like everybody else has got it going on and they don't care. What do I do? Number one, I want you to look at verse 23, and I want you to remember that He'll never let you go. Verse 23. He says in verse 23, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Hey, thou hast holding me by thy right hand. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee.
Amen.
Y'all hold on to that in a second. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Y'all know what continually means?
Hey, it's going to be with me today. Hey, I'm going to be with him tomorrow. Hey, he said, I'm going to be with you the next day. I'm going to be with you the day after that. I'm going to be with you this year. I'm going to be with you when you mess up. I'm going to be with you when you do right. I'm going to be with you when you do wrong. I'm going to be with you when you're pleasing me and seeking me with your whole heart. I'm going to be with you when you break my heart and when you go against me. He said, I'm not going to go away. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let go of you. You're not going to fall out. He said, I will be with thee continually. I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Oh, how about that? What does John 10:28 say? John 10, flip over with me. Y'all need to see this. In John 10:28, I could quote it to you, but you need to see it with your own eyes. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what's the next word? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What did the psalmist say? He said, thou hast holding me by thy right hand. Now here Jesus speaks, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29 of John 10, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus said in John chapter 10, Jesus said, I've got you in my hand if you're here. He said, you're in my hand. And not only that, he said, inside of my hand, you're in the Father's hand. And let me just double dip it a little bit, triple dip it. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're washed in the blood. Hey, can't nobody get, somebody say, well, I'm a man and I can choose to get out of the hand. Hey, if you're a man, no man, I'm a no man, friend. I'm a no man. The devil, hey, nobody can get you out of the Father's hand. He's holding you with his right. Hey, the psalmist said, remember, he'll never let you go. Can I say, the wicked that thinks they're living it up today and the wicked that thinks they got everything going their way today, one of these days it's going to come to naught. Their foot's in a slippery place. They're going to fall to desolation, destruction, and being despised, good neighbors. But if you're in God's hand, though it seems like you don't have it all together yet, hey, look out, this is not the end. Hey, we're not home yet, children. Hey, our home is somewhere beyond the blue. We're going to a better place. And He'll never let you go. Let me just remind you this morning, He's got that word holding, thou hast holding me. Hey, that word means to be seized or to be held into possession. Right. Remember, He's got you. He's near. Don't fear. So many times we think we're alone. We think, well, I'm living. Have you ever felt lonely in this world? I mean, felt like, man, I'm living for God. This thing living for God. I mean, I get lonely. Hey, don't fear. He's always near. You say, well, how near is He? You're in His hand. That's what I call skin-to-skin contact. Hey, we're about as close as we can get. He's in me and I'm in Him. You figure that one out. I'm in Him, I'm already in heaven. He's in me, He's here. You can't get no closer than that. Hey, remember, He'll never let you go. Somebody said, well, if I do bad, He can't. You're part of His body. He can't cut you out and still succeed, friends. He'll never let you go. Number two, I want you to realize not only will He never let you go, but realize He'll never lead you wrong.
Right.
Look at verse 24. He'll never lead you wrong. The psalmist says, hey, this is what he learned down at the house of God, down at the sanctuary. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Hey, with your word, you're going to guide me. You're going to lead me. And how does He lead us? Well, John said it in John 16:13. Jesus said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you're saved this morning and you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And through the Holy Spirit, God leads you and He guides you in all truth. He'll lead you through the Word of God as you hear it preached, as you read it, as you hear somebody teaching you in Sunday school. Hey, when the Word of God's applied and the Holy Spirit, He's in there. And when you go somewhere you're not supposed to go, He's like, don't go there. And you get over here with the crowd you're not supposed to be. Hey, let me just say, if you don't never experience that, I check up. Because if you can just go on down to the clubs, you can go on down there anywhere you go, and it don't bother you.
if you can get around them where they just blaspheming and just doing their own thing and doing things that are against God and nothing bothers you, and you don't ever hear that still small voice on the inside. Ain't you glad He just don't slap you? He don't slap us. Hey, I'm glad He don't slap us. Some people think, I've heard people say, well, I don't think it's nothing wrong with this. I ain't never felt like it was nothing wrong. I ain't never been convicted. Some things you just got to have common sense. You ain't got to be convicted of some things. I ain't never been convicted of drinking Budweiser, but I ain't stupid enough to do it. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever, how much more conviction do you need?
Right. Amen.
I ain't never been convicted. Let me say, hey, some of this stuff they ain't never been convicted of is because they ain't never listened.
Right.
They never went to the sanctuary to see what God had to say about it.
Right.
But He said He'd guide us. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Well, I like Oprah and I like Dr. Phil. Let me take a time out and say, I thank God Oprah's gone. I wish she'd fall off the face of the earth until she gets saved and comes back. Hey, I can't stand her. She's against God. She's an antichrist. Hey, she makes fun of people like you and I. She makes fun of people like you and I who still cling to an old rugged cross. I ain't got nothing good to say about her except she helps some people, give them some money. Hey, but she's against God, good neighbor. And if she's against God, she ought to be against you and me. But we want to seek, you know, I'm going to go to this doctor. I'm going to go to this. Why don't you just let the Holy Spirit, hey, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside. Why don't you let Him lead you? Why don't you let Him guide you with His counsel?
Good.
You ain't going to get His counsel out in the world. You ain't going to get His counsel very often on TBN.
Right. Amen.
Let me say, hey, you'll get His counsel at the house of God. You'll get His counsel through the Word. And if you get mad, you can get glad in the same bridges you got mad in.
Amen.
Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying He'll guide you. He'll lead you. Don't fret, follow. Don't fret, follow. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We worry about what's going to happen the next day. You just don't know, preacher. You just don't know. Hey, I don't know. You don't know. God's the only one that does know. So just get in line and follow.
Right.
Hey, the old song says, where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I'll go with Him. I'll go with. Hey, where He leads me, I'll follow. Or you could, you know, some of y'all old timers, I will follow you anywhere He may lead. Y'all catch on in a minute. Hey, we ought to follow Him anywhere He leads. Anywhere He leads, good night. Hey, He said He'll guide. He said, hey, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Wait a minute. Hey, what's the song say? He will guide till the day is done. Guess what happens when the day is done? He'll receive me up to glory. This is a little side note. This won't cost you nothing. But I did a little study on that receive up to glory. And that word receive, I was interested. It means to snatch away or to take. That's just a little picture of things to come in the New Testament. There's this thing we like to call it the rapture. That word rapture means to be taken away or seized upon by force. Hey, He said, that will receive me into glory. Wow.
Amen.
Don't get too excited or nothing, but one of these days, He's going to be leading you. And if He's leading you, one of these days, He's just going to take you on home.
Amen.
He's just going to take you on home. But let me move right along, number three. In verses 25 and 26, I want us not only to remember that He'll never let you go, not only realize He'll never lead you wrong, but in verse 25 and 26, we see that we need to recognize He's all you'll ever need. You recognize He's all you ever need. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hey, recognize He's all you'll ever need. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul said, the only thing that helps us, what matters to us, is not that we're so good and not that we've got it all together, but our sufficiency is of God. And let me say, when you've got God, God's all you need.
Right. Amen.
Hey,
Don't pine and don't whine, but recline in Him. You can rest this morning assured to know that when God is all you have, God will be all you need. You say, well, look at the world. Hey, look at it through God's eyes. Hey, the world, what they've got, the world passes away and the lust thereof. Hey, all those things are going to burn up. But hey, he that doeth the will of God, he that doeth the will of the Father, it's going to last forever. Hey, Hugh Hefner thinks he's got it going on, but hey, good neighbor, it's going to burn up. Hey, the Playboy Mansion's going to crumble one day. It's going to be disintegrated. It's going to be melted away. Donald Trump and all his riches burn up one day. Gone. Never to be remembered. But let me say this, if you do the will of God, though you don't have it all right now, you've got more than all right now if you got Him.
Amen.
If you've got Him, hey, you've got this world and the world to come. You've got a mansion over on a hilltop. Hey, you got a street of gold. And most of all, you've got Him, baby. You've got Him.
Amen.
What else do you need?
Right.
Well, you just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. Hey, recognize He's all you ever. Hey, He's all I need. You know the song? He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. We sing it. Are we lying? We sing He's all I need, and then we fret and bite our fingernails. And, well, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to pay. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get here. Hey, why don't you just recline and rest in Him?
Amen.
Why don't you realize that He's all you need?
Amen.
He is all you need.
Amen.
Well, don't whine, but recline. Number four. We remember He'll never let you go. We realize He'll never lead you wrong. We recognize He's all we ever need. And we rejoice because He'll let you draw near to Him. Hey, watch verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. I used to be afar off. If you're saved this morning, you used to be afar off. Afar off. But He said, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. In other words, those that are running around with the gods of the world, He said, you're going to destroy them. You're going to take care of them. But verse 28, Asaph said, this is what I learned. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all the... He said, it's good for me to draw near to God.
Amen.
He said, a while ago, He said it was too painful. Verse 16, He said, when I thought on this, it was painful. But He said, I went down to God's house and I started looking at God's way. And He said, now I can tell you, hey, good number. He said, I can tell you that it's good for me to draw near to the Lord. A while ago, He said, I wasted my time. But now He said, hey, I got my attitude adjusted. I got my perception fixed. I cleansed up my lenses. I started looking at it the right way. Here I am. I went down to God's house and I learned something. I realized He's never going to let me go. I recognize, hey, that watch me now. I recognize He's all I need. I realize He'll never let me leave me wrong. But He said, now, hey, I realize that, hey, I can, hey, draw near to Him. And He causes me to rejoice. He said, I rejoice. He said, it's good for me to draw near. Can I help you this morning? People say, well, I just can't get close to God. Let me help you out this morning. I can tell you, I don't know any of you very closely other than my wife. I mean, honestly, we talk at church, but I mean, I don't go home with you. But I can tell you this morning. I will tell every last person in here this morning how close you are to God. I can tell you, Brother Jerry, exactly how close you are to God. Bro Wayne, I can tell you, Robbie, I can tell you, Ms. Barbara, I can tell you, I can point my finger at you and say, hey, buddy, I know exactly how close you are to God. You say, how can you know that? Because I'm going to tell you right now how close every one of us are to God. You're just as close to God as you want to be.
Right.
You're just as close. You say, why? Let me just say this. God's no respecter person. He don't put up barriers and say, ah, you can't come but so far. He ain't got walls up. We put up walls. How many know people you try to get close to and they got walls? I mean, you seem like you got to break down walls. Hey, God don't put up walls. James said, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and He will what? Draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. James 4:8. You ought to mark it in your Bible if you ain't got it up.
But hey, here it is, brother. Here it is. Here's God's thing. God says, if you take a step toward me, he said, I'll take a step toward you. Help me out. Step up here. God, here I'll be God. You be you. God said, hey, draw nigh to me. And he said, I'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You keep drawing nigh, hey, you'll be just as close to God as you want to be.
Right.
Here's our problem. The world's over there, and we like to take a step toward the world and turn around and say, hey, God, ain't you coming? Go ahead, keep going. Hey, wait a minute. God's still over here. He ain't moving. Where are you going? And he's saying, hey, God, don't you want to come over here? And God said, no, I'm the Lord God. I change not.
Right.
I change not.
Yes, right.
I'm Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. Hey, but he said, wait a minute. If you'll draw nigh to me,
right,
I'll draw nigh to you. If you'll draw nigh to me, in other words, if you'll turn your back on the world and all of the world,
that's
hey,
right,
forget the world. It's going to burn up. It's going to be gone, gone, gone. And he said, hey, but if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And you'll have a close, hey, continual communion, hey, a fellowship, a relationship that's binding. Hey, God said, hey, let me say what the psalmist said, verse 28, but it's good. It's good. He didn't say it was strenuous. He didn't say it was hard. He didn't say, oh, it's such a sacrifice and everything to live for God. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. No. He said, it's good. It's good. It is good for me to draw near to God. How about that, Brother Junior? It's good. Let me say this. When you get close to God, you'll say the same thing. You'll say, wow, I thought the world was having it. I thought they had it all together. But once I got over in Daddy's lap, I realized just how good it is.
Amen.
Let me say, in His presence is joy and pleasures forevermore. It's good. He said, it's good for me to draw near to God. Don't hate the situation. Learn to appreciate the Savior.
Amen.
We hate the situation. We look around and say, it just ain't fair. I just hate it. I just don't like it. It's easy to hate the situation, but learn to appreciate the Savior.
Amen.
Learn to appreciate Him.
Good.
For who He is. Not for what He gives you, but for who He is. We rejoice because we can draw near to Him. And we can say, draw me near, 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 blessed Lord. And then the psalmist said, because I learned that it was good for me to draw near, he said, I put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. A while ago, he's crying tears are dropping in his cereal bowl. It is too painful. Let me say, if you get to looking at the world's way, you get out there, hey, it's going to be painful for you. You ain't going to understand it. You can't live for God but try to ration it out with the world's reasoning. That it ain't going to make sense. But if you understand the God you serve and look at it His way, you'll say, wow, this is good. And you'll say, hey, now I got to go declare it. I got to go tell somebody. That's what the psalmist said. He said, I'm going to tell somebody how good God is. I'm going to tell somebody how good it is to get close to it. I'm going to tell them, hey, that He'll never let me go. I'll tell them that He'll never leave me wrong. I'll tell them that He's all I need. I'll tell them that He lets me draw near, 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 blessed Lord.
Amen.
The way you react to situations of life, be they good or bad, is going to be determined by the lens you look through. Are you going to look through man's view? Or are you going to look through God's view?
Right.
How are you going to look at life? Let me say, if you look at it like Asaph did the first 16 verses, you're going to be a mixed up person.
Right.
But if you, hey, he said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein.
Good.
Let me say, God help us to look at it God's way.
Yeah.
And how you react is going to be determined on the way you look, your perception, your priorities, how you get up in the air, or how you rejoice, because it's good to draw near to God.
Right.
It's all going to be dependent on your perception and your view, how you look at life. Why don't you come to the house of God this morning? Why don't you come in prayer this morning? Why don't you come in worship this morning? Get close to Him so you can look at life right. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You, God, for Your goodness to us. I thank You, God,
for allowing us this time this morning to gather around your word. Gather together, Lord, in your house with your people. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray you'd work in hearts. Lord, if there'd be anybody here lost this morning, I pray, God, you'd show them their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, how life just, it's not worth living without him. But Lord, with you, oh my, you make the difference. God, I pray for Christians, Lord, that begin to question and wonder how in the world it don't make sense sometimes. God, I pray you'd encourage some hearts. I pray, God, you'd help us to get our view right. I pray you'd help us to get our perception looking through the biblical lens what life's all about. We thank you, God, that it is good to draw near to God and that you allow us to. So help us this morning draw near to you, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.